The following audio is from LifePoint Church, located in O'Fallon, Missouri. For more information about LifePoint Church, visit us online at thelifepointconnection.com.
Well, good morning. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, we're actually going to be in the book of Haggai today. That's not a joke. If you want to grab those, Haggai is probably a little two-chapter book in the Old Testament that probably the majority of you have not read, but it's amazing. So I'm going to give you some time to get there. If you want to go to the table of contents, there is no shame in that. All right. So today we're starting our new series called Changed, and we're going to be moving into the Easter season and the Easter services and the Good Friday services with us. But today I really want to set the stage with what is our role in moving forward in the glory of God and how are we changed. And so I want to really start with a verse out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And this verse is going to kind of set the tone for us, if you will. It's going to kind of give us the umbrella by which we see Christ changing us from the inside out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed." Let me tell you what he's talking about right here. He says that the Jews or the people who don't know Christ, there is a veil that lies over their faces and over their hearts so that it keeps them from seeing God for who he really is. There is a veil that lies over hearts and over eyes that keeps us from seeing ultimately the glory of God and turning to Christ. But this just said that when one turns to Jesus, when one turns to the Lord, this veil that lies over our hearts and over our eyes, it's removed. Look in verse 17. "For the Lord," now the Lord, "is Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Everyone say freedom. Freedom. All right, I knew you were awake. "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with an unveiled face, are beholding the glory of the Lord." Let me tell you something about that word beholding. That is an active verb. That is continually beholding. It's not like one day when I was 6 or one day when I was 11 or when I turned 20, right? I raised my hand, I came down front, I did this thing, and that was the day that I beheld. But this is beholding. Because we have now unveiled faces and unveiled hearts. And so today, I hope that many of you walked into this place beholding the glory of the Lord. Because the Lord really wants us to behold his glory. Look at what it says. It says, "We all with an unveiled face are beholding the glory of the Lord. And when we behold the glory of the Lord, we are being," not we were, but "we are being transformed." You got to see that when we constantly put ourselves in places where we can behold and see the glory of the Lord, it changes us. It transforms us. It says when we behold the glory of the Lord, we are being changed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. When God called us 5 years ago to start LifePoint Church, he called us into a movement, not just to build a building or put out some seats, But really he called us to this movement to see lives change for the glory of God. He started us on this adventure that says, hey, I want more people in this town, in this city, I want to see people changed. And so he set us on this mission to see families changed, to see people changed, not only temporarily, for eternity changed. And so he's gifted us, he's given us the gospel of Jesus Christ that says that he knew no sin, he became sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And as we proclaim that, people begin to see the glory of God and their lives are changed. They see God and they're beholding God. And through the years, what we've seen is we begin to watch God do some amazing things. How many of you have seen amazing things in this body. Listen, we from the very moment we started this church, we started seeing God transform and show us his glory. I mean, there's days that we've walked out of this place or walked out of a situation or walked out of a meeting and we said, that was the greatest thing I've ever seen God do. Remember that? Remember when you walked down here and you say, man, it must not get any better than that. But you know what I'm learning? What I've learned is that God does it over and over and over and over and over again. And you're thinking, man, there's no way that could get better. And then God shows up and he shows you his glory is deeper and wider and higher and longer and stronger than anything we've ever seen. And we're like, that was the greatest thing that I've ever seen God do. And so here's the deal, is God's not done doing that. Leaving us in awe, leaving us in tears, leaving us in a place where like, that was amazing. And so God wants to continue doing that again and again and again. And here's what I want to tell you today, is I believe that right now in this season, in this year, in this day, in your life, God wants to do the greatest thing that you've ever seen him do in your life. I pray that you would believe that with me. Because you're not done. God's not done. He wants to continue again and again and again and again so that we would behold his glory. And when we do that, we are being changed. We're being changed. And I believe that in this place, God wants to do the most amazing thing in your life today, which means I believe that God wants to do the most amazing thing that we've ever seen him do in this entire body, in this entire city. And so we are a people that are dedicated to being united together, committed to the glory of God. Committed to seeing the glory of God. Now, that's the way it really started in the book of Haggai. Because God was on a mission to show the world his glory. He wanted people to see how splendorous, how awesome, how magnificent, how worshipful that God is. And so he wanted this mission from the very beginning so to show the world his glory. And so let me give you some background about this book. Okay, so it's just a couple of chapters long. But what has happened is that these people, they've been held captive by the Babylonians. That's a cool word. If you've never said that, you can use that in your workplace this week. So they've been held captives by the Babylonians, and what happened is their place, their city has been destroyed. I mean, it's just been knocked down, and these people, they've been held captive, they've been in slavery, and they've been controlled, basically. All right, so what happened then is the Babylonians were eventually overthrown, and these people were allowed to actually go back into their city. And Haggai, the prophet, he walks into the city, and he sees everything is torn down, everything is burned to the ground. I mean, there's rubble everywhere. And God comes to him, and he says, hey, I want to give you a new focus. I want to give you a new hope. I want to give you a new vision. I want to give you something that's going to be so splendorous. And he says, I want to rebuild not only this city, but I want to rebuild my people around worshiping me. I want to build this city and these people around my glory. And God begins to show us what this starts to look like or how God is going to do that. And so we're going to do the second chapter first and then the first chapter second. If that's not confusing to you, just go to chapter 2, verse 6. Chapter 2, starting in verse 6, it says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while, I will shake the heavens. I will shake the earth, I will shake the sea, and I will shake the dry land, and I will shake the nations so that the treasure of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with what? With glory, says the Lord." I believe that God's not done, and he wants to fill his house, his earth, his people with glory. And I believe it's going to take God shaking some of you here. That God not only wants to shake the heavens and not only wants to shake the earth and he wants to shake the nations and he wants to shake up some of you from where you're sitting right now so that you would be lights for his glory, so that others would see his glory, and when they see it, they're changed. Because I believe that God wants to do that in each one of us. Look at what it says in verse 7. He says, I'm going to shake the nations and I'm going to fill this house with my glory. And so I'm gonna do something amazing. I'm gonna shake everything that you know. I'm gonna shake everything that you've stood upon. I'm gonna shake everything that you understand. And so you gotta get this picture, is that Haggai walks into a city of brokenness. These are not only broken walls, these are broken families, these are broken relationships, these are broken marriages, these are broken incomes, these are broken lives. And God says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to shake it all up so that you would see my glory. And God says, I'm going to shake the nations. I'm going to take what was once broken down and I'm going to rebuild it for my glory. I'm going to take people whose lives are in rubble. Anybody ever been there? I'm going to take these people whose lives were in rubble. I'm going to put it back together so that they would be a display of my glory, so that when people see what I did, they would say, that it must be the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And all the glory goes to God and people are changed. And there's a day that God says, a day is coming when I'm going to take this house and I'm going to take these people and I'm going to make it a display for my glory, and the city is going to shake. I believe that God wants to use you and wants to use me and wants to use this church to shake this city for the glory of God. And maybe you're walked in today and say, Eric, I don't know how God's going to use me because I look at my life and it's pretty much in shambles. I mean, I may have a spark somewhere in there, but really everything else is darkness. Some of you, you've walked into this place and you find yourself in the middle of brokenness. You find yourself in the middle of a situation where everything around you is rubble and you don't know what you're going to do. Some of you lost sight of the purpose of God for your life. Oh yeah, we do church well, right? The band nails it. So we come in and we sing, we do that church thing. But listen, you've lost sight of the real purpose that God has for your life. Maybe you've lost sight of God altogether, and it's been overshadowed with just religious duty. Today, I want to tell you that Jesus is speaking to us. Jesus is speaking to you that he wants to shake up your life in such a way so that you would begin to be the glory of God into the world, into the city, so that others would be changed. He wants to transform you by his glory. He wants to take your brokenness. He wants to take your rubble. And he wants you to burn brighter and louder than ever before that your life has ever shined. And you're going to look back on this year and this season and say, that must have been the most amazing thing I've ever seen God do in my life. Because we stopped playing the game and we said, I want to be about the glory of God. Look in verse 8. In verse 8, he says, the silver is mine. God says, the gold is mine. He says, every natural resource out there, that's mine. Everything that the world sees precious, that's mine. And I'm above it. Watch what he says. He says, all of it's mine, declares the Lord of hosts. He says, the latter glory, the glory that's coming of this house shall be greater than the former glory. He says, the glory that I'm going to show my people is going to be greater than what you've experienced before. You see, before there was a temple there. Before there was a house of worship there. Before there were people gathering around the glory of God. He says, but what I want to do in the nations and on the earth is shine a greater glory, a higher glory, a better glory. It's going to be greater than what you've ever seen before. And God says, I want to show you my glory again and again. It's going to be greater than the former. And this place will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. The greater glory that you and I get to participate in, the glory that is greater than the temple, is the glory that is seen in and through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus comes and he says, I'm going to die. I am this temple. You break it down, I'm building it up in 3 days. Jesus says, I am the glory of God to be seen by all men so that all men see me, they will know me, and they'll be changed. And so here we are as temples of God and seeing and beholding Jesus Christ. There is a greater glory that you and I get to experience than the glory that is built with human hands made out of gold and silver. Are you tracking with that? I mean, there is something that is more magnificent than just building buildings and filling chairs, but it's rather seeing the glory of Jesus Christ. And so today, you and I get to experience the glory of God in a way that they never experience in the temple. We get to experience the glory of God because he wants to outshine anything that you've ever experienced in your life. He wants to show you his glory again and again and again and again. The greater glory is the glory that comes through knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I need you to hear that because everything we do is about Jesus. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope, our life, our strength, our purpose, it's all in Jesus. And when we see Jesus, we actually behold the glory of God. When we see Jesus, do you realize that Jesus is the one that brings light out of darkness? Do you believe that Jesus is the one that gives us the Spirit? Do you believe that the Spirit is the one that brings us out of freedom, that brings us from death to life, that Jesus is the one that puts back together all that which was broken? And so we must be about Jesus. In that verse, 2 Corinthians 3 verse, later in verse 4, it says, the glory of God is going to shine in your hearts. It says you're going to see the glory of God through the knowledge of knowing God through the face of Jesus Christ. For God said, let light shine out of the darkness. And it's shown right here with an unveiled face and with an unveiled heart to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. How do we see the glory? How do we see his glory? We see Jesus. We see Jesus. And so the thing that changed my life, and I believe the thing that will change your life, is not a building or a temple that's made by human hands. It's not a program that you get yourself in. It's a place where you get to start beholding the glory of God. And when you behold the glory of God, you will be changed. And so I know that Jesus wants to use each one of us. Jesus is the glory of God that changes all of our lives. And Jesus, listen to me, is the hope for this city. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is the hope for your family? Is beholding the glory of Jesus the hope for your family? Is beholding the glory of Jesus the hope for your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers? The friends that live on the right and your left, do you believe that Jesus is the hope for this city and this nation? It's better than anything. But here's the deal. It's going to take every single one of us in this place today asking God to shake us in such a way that we would see him. And I pray that when you walked in here today, you didn't just simply walk in here to do church service, but you walked in with a heart that says, God, I'm ready for you to shake my life. Because that's what we do, is we ask God, God, shake my life in such a way that I would see you. Because when I see you, I'm changed. And when I see you, I'm transformed. And it's going to take every one of us asking God, no matter where we are, to help us see his glory so that we can reach people in the city and all tribes and all nations so that they would know that the one thing that they desire more than anything else has a name. The one thing that your friends desire more than anything else, it has a name. The one thing that this city desires more than anything else, it has a name, and his name is Jesus. And so, God, we're asking you to shake our lives in such a way that we wouldn't walk out of here the same, but we would walk out of here changed because we just got to experience the glory of God. We just got to experience Jesus. And so what the world needs, what you and I need, is actually to see Jesus. So God, he comes to the people through the prophet. Look at this. He says, it's time for God's people to come together. It's time for God's people to have a new vision. I want you to be a display for my glory. And today we proclaim that Jesus has come, that Jesus did die in our place, that Jesus did raise to life to give us new life, and he took all of our sin and all of our shame and all of our brokenness upon him so that we can walk out of here changed, so that we can walk out of here empowered by the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, freedom to be about the glory of God. And today, God is bringing us in one body, and I believe that no matter your rubble, no matter your brokenness, no matter where you're at, God wants to start using you to be a display for his glory. Remember what it says in Matthew 5? Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5:14, it says, "You are the light of the world." Remember that? He looks at the people and he says, "Listen, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hidden. So don't take your light, don't take my glory that I'm showing you, that I'm changing you, don't take it and hide it somewhere, but you take the glory of God and you place it on a lamp so that the whole world would see and watch you and hear you and know you, so that they would see and give glory to God who is in heaven." Listen, and what happens when they give glory to God who is in heaven? They're changed. The city is changed. The world is changed. So I need to ask you, what is keeping you from letting your light shine? What's keeping you from being and fulfilling the purposes of God that He has on your life? What's keeping you from not stepping out and saying, "I want to show the world the glory of Jesus"? What failure? Maybe you've walked in here and you said, "Man, I'm a failure. I don't really have anything put together. I don't really have anything to offer." What difficulty? What lie? What circumstance? What pains of your past? What grief? What sorrow is actually keeping you held captivity from entering in to what God wants to do in the city? Some of you walked in here, and some of the people, they're in the city, but they're really still held captive by fear. That's why it starts out, "Fear not." And so what's lie? What difficulty is holding you captive? Listen, how many years, how many months, how many days are we going to lose just simply being held captive and not fulfilling the purpose that God has for us? How many are going to be held captive with the lie that says, "Hey, you know what? You're not good enough. You can't do that. You can't say anything about Jesus. You can't actually be the glory of God to the world. You're not good enough. Your life is too broken. The city's too broken. Your friend is too far gone." What lie is holding you captive? What lie? Maybe your life looks like it's in rubble. It's broken down. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Is that Jesus wants to come to you today, and He wants to set you free from all the lies and all the captivity that would somehow keep us from being the light of the gospel. There is a liberator. Jesus died. Jesus rose. So no matter what the rubble you find yourself in, no matter how you've walked in here, Jesus wants to set you free. Look at Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1, verse 2. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say..." Listen to what the people say. The people say, "The time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord." The people say, "It's not time yet." Some of you are sitting here today and you hear me saying, "It's time for us to be about the glory of God and the worship of God in our families and in our neighborhoods and in our cities." And you say to me, "It's not just time for me yet. I'm still trying to get on my feet." You know, Eric, I would love to do that. I would love to step into the purposes and the calling that God has for us to be light. But listen, I'm still a mess. I'm still trying to do better. I'm trying to still put some things back together in my life before I actually do that. And the people come to Haggai and say, "Oh, I don't know if I can do that. It's not time." Some of you say, "You know, it's not really the best time for me to be about God's purpose and God's plan for me. You know, it's not really the best time to make Jesus the main priority in my life. Not church, Jesus. I'm not sure this is the best time for me to actually give everything I have to the purposes of seeing and knowing and sharing the glory of God. Because you know what? Honestly, if you look at my life, I'm really busy. I mean, I'm busy. Now's not the time for me because I got a promotion coming up and I got to work on my career. Now's not the best time for me. I got to actually finish school. I got to get through my education. I got to do my thing. Now's not the best time for me. You know what, Jesus? Now's not the best time for me because I need to keep working on me. Can I just be honest with you? I believe the greatest lie that the enemy brings that keeps us from seeing and knowing the glory of God is the lie that you need to keep working on you, rather than working about the kingdom of God and knowing the purposes of God for your life. Because if the enemy could just keep you so consumed with you working on you, then there's no one else coming to know the glory of God. And so I believe that the American church has lost sight of the main thing, of the fact that you are the light of the world. You are the one to take Jesus to the world, to put Jesus on display. And we look around and we say, no, man, I just got to work on me. That's why so many people I talk to have gone to church service after church service after church service after church service after Bible study and small group study and curriculum study and self-help books, and they're never transformed. Because we're so consumed about, I just need to work on me. Listen, that 2 Corinthians passage, it says, it is not ourselves that we proclaim, it is Jesus. So we don't go out and say, hey, look how awesome I am. Don't you see God? We say, look at how broken I am and how great he is. Don't you see God? Look at how God wants to use us. And so many are so consumed with just working on me. Look at what it says in verse 3. He says, the people say the time's not yet. Verse 3 says, then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Question mark. You see it? He says, so is it time for you to build bigger houses and bigger barns and nicer stuff while the glory of God and the people can't see the glory of God with veiled faces and veiled heart, don't have a messenger to go and tell them and show them and be about the glory of God? You just want to build in your paneled houses? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, consider your ways. Oh, that hit me this week. He says, consider your ways. It's almost like he said, how's that working? He says, consider your waves. Let me just tell you, honestly, your life will continue to be empty outside of the purpose of God for your life. If you continue to chase everything besides what God really has set in you, then your life, no matter what you have or what you attain, it will not fulfill. Eric, I don't know about that. I mean, that's a pretty strong opinion. Well, I think I've got the scriptures on my side. Look at what it says. He says, you've sown much and harvested little. Consider your ways. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one's warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord, consider your ways. How's it working out? He says, everybody has a nice house, but what about the glory of God? He said, everybody has nice stuff. Everybody eats, but you're still hungry. Everybody drinks, but you're still thirsty. Everybody has everything, but you possess nothing. He says, everyone has, but you're still empty. Why don't you consider your ways? When are you going to make the glory of God the main priority in your life? Listen, I'm not even talking about church. He says, when are you going to make the glory of God the priority in your family? I'm not talking about some service. When are you going to make the priority of the glory of God the priority in your city? He says, come on. I don't want these people, my people, to just simply sit on the back row of the churches, or better yet, sit on the back rows of life when I've called you into a greater movement and a greater purpose, because God's not done. And he says, I want to show you my glory so that you can daily say, that was the greatest thing I've ever seen God do. That's what he wants to do. And so let us rather give everything we are and everything we have by asking God to use my life, to shake my life for his kingdom and his glory. Today, let us decide in this moment, asking God, shake our lives so that we would be a light into our city, because we know, we've seen with unveiled faces that the glory of God changes everything. Jesus changes everything. As the band comes up, I'm just going to challenge you here in just a minute. Maybe you've walked in here and complacency has been your story. Or indifference. Man, I love it when Eric gets excited about it, but I don't know if I could really get excited about that. You're just indifferent. You're just complacent. Maybe that's your story. Maybe captivity is your story. Maybe you've walked in here and you just have chains of fear. I don't know what to say. I don't know where to go. I'm afraid. Maybe the chains of fear are holding you back. Maybe there's a hurt. Maybe you feel insecure. You're held captive by it. Maybe all of these things together have kept you out of what God's purpose and plan is for your life. I'm going to pray in just a minute, and I pray that you would join me, that the glory of the Lord would shake your house today. I believe that God wants to make you alive. I believe he does want to make you new. And I do believe that the glory of the Lord wants to shine in your heart so bright today that you're going to be changed from this moment forward. I know that through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, his promise is that he would never leave us. And his promise is that he would empower us with the Holy Spirit to be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I pray that you would really step into asking God to do that. It's only by Jesus' grace that takes that which was broken and makes it new. I pray that today he would begin to rebuild your life for his glory. I pray that today you would take serious the call of God to make his glory your priority. Because when we see him, he changes everything, doesn't he? I pray that your life would be a dwelling place of the glory of God so that all would know that he's risen. Will you pray with me? Lord, today I know there's chains. Today I know there's barriers. I know that today there are broken walls. I pray today we would be a church that makes no more excuses. That we don't have anything else to offer but all of ourselves. That we withhold nothing, and we truly come to your throne this morning. We come to your altar this morning asking you to shake our lives up in such a way that others would come to see your glory, that I would see your glory. That I would see you for who you truly are. That I would know you for who you truly are. That I would see Christ crucified, resurrected, and now glorified. I pray that we would be a people that truly believes that today can be the start of the fact that Jesus, you change everything, and I want it done in my life, in this place. Oh God, show us your glory. Oh God, show us your glory.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. LifePoint Church exists to engage, encourage, and equip through the gospel for the glory of God. Therefore, it is our prayer that the Word of God would be an encouragement to your heart and lead you into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. If you would like to support the ministry, you can do so by visiting our website at thelifepointconnection.com/give. May God bless, and may your life point to Christ everywhere in every way.